good to get out here and put the helmet on and get a look at some of these young guys. And shoot, everybody's young to me now, but to get a look at the guys out here and get back into it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Live at 4. I'm Missy Matthews, joined by Bob Labriola and Mike Prasuta, and we are officially starting the season of football in shorts, guys.
Yeah, I agree with everything Ben said, except I don't put the helmet on. It's good to see some of these young guys out here, get a look at some things, see how things are going, but it is football in shorts.
Yeah, and it's a little more interesting than normal, wouldn't you agree? Not that that qualifies it as necessarily riveting, but a little bit of a different spring for the Steelers, a little different tone this week on the South Side.
All right, we are going to kind of break all of that down for you today on the show. But Labs, first, a few roster moves that the Steelers made over the last
few days. Yeah, a couple of things happened. You know, the Steelers are constantly tinkering with their roster. They added, they claimed cornerback Deion Blue off waivers. Blue was not drafted. He was signed by the Miami Dolphins as an undrafted rookie. He is now the Steelers' property after they were awarded him on waivers. They also signed Emmanuel McCray, a guard tackle kind of prospect to add to the offensive line. And since the Steelers were at 90 players before they made these moves, they had to create two spots on their 90-man roster. They waived two offensive linemen, Nick Imbernate and Casey Ike. Casey Ike was a guy who, this happens, I won't say often, but periodically with guys that the team brings in as undrafted rookies. They get a look at them in the first couple of days of OTAs, and if they can make the decision right away, this guy has no chance. He's gone. Bring in someone else. Because you want to, even on throughout the 90-man roster, you want to have guys, I think, that you think can maybe develop or at least compete to a level where you're helping the other guys improve, either in OTAs or at St. Vincent College. Nick Imbernate was a guy who was signed as an undrafted rookie last year. There was a little bit of buzz about him. Heading up to St. Vincent College, he blew out his knee almost immediately. And, you know, Mike, a lot of times with those kinds of guys, when you're a borderline, maybe, undrafted rookie free agent, maybe, and then you sustain an injury like that, whatever you had physically that made you that maybe is gone, and then they just move on to someone else.
If you're a half step slower, you're now too slow.
Right.
And not to mention with all those moves you detailed, they got a guy from the SEC from Roll Tide, Alabama. So win-win.
Well, a good sight that we did see out on the practice fields behind us this week during OTAs, of course, was the return of center Marquise Pouncey. He kind of predicted a few months ago when we had a chance to catch up with him that this was his hope that he'd be out there, and he was surprisingly giving it a full go, guys.
Yeah, Marquise Pouncey is back out on the field. He was given today off, and that's going to be, I think, we'll
Why
see.
Weren't we?
You were off last week. I don't want to hear about it. But that's what we're going to see periodically, I believe, throughout the process, right up to the opening of the regular season. Marquise Pouncey, though, is progressing nicely. And it's good to see, you know, when the offense breaks the huddle, it's number 53, you know, settling over the football.
Yeah, I like that first day when there was a little incident between Marquise Pouncey and Ryan Shazier, the number one pick. Shazier getting the best of Pouncey, kind of threw him to the ground while he was shedding a block, which tells me, A, he's not just a fast guy, and B, he came here not to lead the band at halftime. And Pouncey took exception, and Shazier tried to extend a hand, and hey, no harm, no foul. And Pouncey wasn't having any of that. And he said afterward, I told that kid, that mess got to stop.
Well, so, rule right. Number 10.
Ryan Shazier is a rookie who's still learning what Mike Tomlin calls practice etiquette. So, you like to see the rookies be enthusiastic, but don't mess with the all-pro guys in the first couple of OTAs.
All right, well, here is what Pouncey and some of his teammates had to say about his return.
Yeah, it was pretty neat, man. I had to go out there and drive block guys and finish on some plays, man. It was pretty awesome.
How did you feel?
It feels great, man. No problems at all.
When did you start feeling pretty good, Marquise?
Maybe like a month and a half, 2 months ago. I started feeling really great, especially in the weight room. And then to come out here on the football field and do it, man, is awesome.
Well, it's comfortable. You know, he's a comfort blanket. And, he's a leader of this team, a leader of the offensive line. And It's just good to see him out there because he's a football player and he loves the game.
How impressed are you with how far he's come, how quick he's come back?
Sure, I thought he could have played at the end of last year. I mean, that's how hard he worked and his dedication and the time he put into it that I really believe that he could have played last year because that's the type of competitor and athlete he is.
It was good. I shook his hand like we were a business partner today. It was good to have him out there, and he was ecstatic about it too. So it was a good vibe for him, for us also.
Were you surprised anything he was able to do?
A little bit. I think he's ahead of schedule right now. He knows it, but he also knew that he had to pull himself out of some reps. But as far as his movement and what he's doing, I was shocked.
Everyone happy to have Pouncey back out there. And there you see their new offensive line coach, Mike Munchak, getting a chance to work with this group first time on the field. And also, this is something good, new coach and somebody that can help Mike Adams, Mike.
Yeah, maybe Mike Adams the perfect project for the new coach, Mike Munchak. And we saw Marquise Pouncey on Tuesday and Wednesday. Did not see him today. He got the day off. But Mike Adams got some time at right tackle as well as left tackle. And when he played right tackle today, there was a series where he was working with David DeCastro and Ramon Foster and Kelvin Beachum, the de facto starting offensive line in Pouncey's absence. Now, Adams said he was just cycling through and he's trying to low-key everything and, hey, I'll play whatever, wherever, whenever. I just want to compete. The usual stuff that you hear from a guy in his position. But Labs, I think Mike Adams, I was encouraged by the way he rallied last year and found a way to be useful in that third tight end stuff and play better as the season went on. It was still a bad season for him. You can't put a bow on it when you are a starter at left tackle to begin the campaign and you get benched. But the kid's got some fight left in him. He's got some pedigree. He's got some ability. I don't think you crumple that up and throw it away just yet.
No, and the way you put it for the story that you wrote for Steelers.com today, you know, Mike Adams' 2013 season began with him as a starter. It ended up with him being a spare part. And he has to come back from that. You know, when we saw Mike Munchak there, we were talking about, you know, getting guys in the lab and working with him. You know, I think that can be the case with a lot of these guys, but in different ways. Certainly Mike Adams, the work that he needs to do with Mike Munchak has to do with, I don't want to say he has to rebuild his game from the bottom up, but I think that, you know, some reconstruction is necessary. But some of the other guys we also saw in that video, David DeCastro, playing the same position that Mike Munchak played on the way to a Hall of Fame career with the Houston Oilers and then the Tennessee Titans. Marcus Gilbert, let's be honest. I mean, he is by no means a finished product or, in my mind, even a lock to start at right tackle at this point. So a lot of these guys need to get into the lab with Mike Munchak and get better.
And Mike Munchak knows these ingredients. You know, he didn't come from the moon. He was the head coach of the Tennessee Titans recently. He's evaluated all these guys. He talked about that over the three-day period that was the NFL draft and how excited he was to come here, knowing he's evaluated DeCastro, he's evaluated Adams, Pouncey. He's seen these guys at their best. He knows what they can and cannot do even before his arrival here. So I think that's yet another positive in the Mike Munchak column. There seem to be a great many of those.
All right, let's get back to Ryan Shazier. Mike, you already mentioned his little tiff with Pouncey, kind of introducing him to the Steelers way at practice. And what was a little bit different about, I think, OTAs this year that you alluded to is the fact that we saw some younger guys running with the first team, getting a little bit more opportunities, which typically isn't given to them. And Ryan Shazier, a perfect example of that.
No, the standard operating procedure, if you will, in normal years would be Vince Williams, who started 11 games last year at inside linebacker next to Lawrence Timmons. It was because of injury, but he nonetheless started 11 games. The normal protocol would be to line Vince Williams up there. I don't know, maybe line him up there the first day at St. Vincent and then let the kid, if he's going to beat him out on the field. But there are no such illusions, at least not this week on the south side. That kid right there, number 50, Ryan Shazier, number one, first play with Lawrence Timmons. And why not? You brought him here for a reason. Everybody's been raving about him. Lawrence Timmons was raving about him after the first workout No time like the present to move forward.
Well, yeah, and the other thing that you would normally see in OTAs would be, I don't know, James Ferrier lining up next to Lawrence Timmons, or Larry Foote and Lawrence Timmons, or, you know, some combination of not only veterans, but veterans with Super Bowl rings that they helped your team win. That's over. You know, Mike Tomlin is a coach who deals in options, and if he has a better option than a rookie, he'll play that option. But if he doesn't, put the rookie in and let's see what he can do. And, you know, I think that what's happening here in these OTAs, and Kevin Colbert verbalized this earlier today, you know, what they're trying to do right now is mentally prepare these guys, or at least indoctrinate them mentally to the degree that when they get them up in La Trobe, when they put the pads on, because, Mike, as we know, football is a game that is played in pads.
It's also a collision sport, a contact sport.
Exactly. Dancing is a contact yes. sport, I think. I learned that at the all-boys Catholic high school I went to. You want them to be able to show what they can do physically without having to think. And the other thing, I think, you put Ryan Shazier in right away, and you see how he reacts to that. Does he come across as being entitled? Does he think, I've made it? Or does he see what he doesn't know and needs to learn and work that much harder at it? So there's going to be a lot of things that happen between now and September 7th that go into Mike Tomlin's decision, hey, do I want to put this rookie out with the first 11 when the Steelers open the regular season against those Cleve Brownies? And I think that even though this isn't really that significant, it's a little piece of the puzzle.
Well, the one thing that Ryan Shazier did talk about is that he wasn't expecting how fast practice was going to be and just the intensity of it. And he did say that, yes, he knows he's also fast, but he wasn't ready for this.
I knew I was a pretty fast player, and people always told me the speed of the game is fast. And everywhere I went, I was pretty much just as fast as everybody or faster. So it wasn't that big of a deal. But now everybody's fast on this level. So and one little mistake can make a big difference on this level, too. So it really makes a difference.
You know, I've heard this term, mistake speed, in reference to defensive backs before. And, I can't remember if it was Keith Butler or Dick LeBeau who said Ryan Shazier has mistake speed. But what they meant was he can make a mistake, diagnose the fact he's made a mistake, and run like heck and get to where he was supposed to be in the first place in time to still make the play. I think that's one of the things that separates this guy.
Yeah, I got a chance to talk to Dick LeBeau a little bit today. And, you know, I was asking him, as the draft was unfolding, you know, do you start thinking, you know, how this guy might fit in to different things you want to do as it's, you know, as the players are coming off the board and it's getting closer to your team's pick and you see how you have the guys ranked and it looks like, you know, if this guy falls to you, he's going to be the pick. And Dick LeBeau admitted he did. He said, and he believes that by the time the 15 minutes went up, he might have come up with a couple of new blitzes in his head involving Ryan Shazier.
All right, well, just kind of similar to Pouncey, we were all waiting for his return to the field, and one that we've kind of been watching, sticking with linebackers, guys, is Sean Spence. He was out here, something that he's been working really hard to do, and it was good to see him not just running and sprinting with the guys, but actually partaking in the drills.
Yeah, and Sean Spence, one of the things that really stood out to me when he was a rookie before he injured his knee in that fourth preseason game against Carolina was how he was able to find the football and how sudden he was in showing up there. I really can't remember that back that far, how quickly he was there and whether he's as quick now as he was then, or is he half a step slower. I don't know how to gauge that just yet, but I did notice a couple of different times as you're watching 11 on 11 and the ball would go to one side of the field or the other, it's white jerseys for offense. You know, you see a bunch of gold jerseys there, and then you look at the numbers to see, you know, who was there first, and 51 was there pretty quickly on more than one occasion. So it looks like that Sean Spence, what he had that made him special as a rookie, maybe he hasn't lost all of that. You know, we'll have to see how it works out. But this guy could, I don't know, I'm still kind of interested in seeing how he does up at St. Vincent.
Oh, no question. And the really intriguing part to me regarding Sean Spence is He's been obviously a much interviewed subject this week, a much talked about guy, and he's been asked, are you really going to have to wait until training camp to know whether you're back or not? And he said his words, no, I think I'll find out right now if I can run and cut and do all the things that I'll have to do on my knee. I know how to play in pads. And when I first heard him say that, I thought, well, he's being a little ambitious, or maybe he's trying to talk himself into thinking he's more further along than he already is. But then it was pointed out to me today by somebody who works here that, remember that brief window last year when the Steelers were trying to see if they could get him off the physically unable to perform list and practice him and see where he was, maybe get him on the active roster? It didn't work out because he wound up suffering a hand injury. Kid apparently has no luck. But, man, his first day in pads, he was hitting people. Now, it's a time of the season, the NFL season, it was week 9, 10, 11, around there, where they're not really hitting much in practice. But he looked then like a guy who stood out. And, Bob, I don't know. I'm not necessarily writing it down in ink, but I'm certainly not putting anything past this kid in terms of this comeback.
Yeah, and, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, what Ryan Shazier learns a little bit more about the defense, and it comes down to competing for a spot. Sean Spence might be the guy that he's competing with. You know, we're talking about Vince Williams as the incumbent starter there, at least for 11 games last year. But if Sean Spence really is back and is feeling like himself, that could be an interesting battle.
All right, well, here is what Sean Spence said after practice the other day.
Oh, that's a big step, man. Like I said, I'm just happy to be back out here, being a part of the team, being a part of the guys, being coach, you know, is all a blessing.
How crucial was it spending all the time you were able to in the playbook and still being around the guys to getting back out here?
Very crucial. I think it slowed the game down for me a lot. I'm picking up things a lot easier now, being able to watch for 2 years, you know, correcting other people's mistakes and not making the same mistakes on the field.
What's the biggest challenge?
I guess just, you know, competing with other guys. You know, in the offseason, we were just running together. But now I'm being able to change direction at sudden movements, covering guys, blitzing, and things like that.
Guys, Sean Spence not the only person that a lot of the media wants to talk to this week. Another one would be Marcus Wheaton, who kind of has been playing opposite of Antonio Brown. And he won't say it's his position, but I think we all kind of know that's probably his to lose.
And yet another example. Now, he's not a rookie. But
right.
This is the guy everybody's been waiting on, just like Sean Spence ever since draft day. The unfortunate injuries last year, but you recall the investment made in Marcus Wheaton. Labs, I know you remember how good he looked at training camp last year. Missy, we talked about him a bunch then.
Yeah.
What's he going to contribute? And now all of a sudden you have this gaping hole at wide receiver left by departures. Emmanuel Sanders isn't here anymore. Jericho Cotchery isn't here anymore. And this is a kid who not only has the physical talent and the potential, but Labs, they put him next to Ben Roethlisberger in the locker room for a reason a year ago. He's been soaking up knowledge and at least learning how to be a pro, if not actually playing as a pro or playing as well as the Steelers think he can. So, once again, why not stick him in there? Let's see what you got. Let's go.
Yeah, it's similar to me to what happened in the offseason before the 2004 season. You know, Troy Polamalu was the Steelers' first-round pick in 2003, did not start a game his entire rookie season. Bill Cowher used to do the off-season program opposite of the way Mike Tomlin did it in this respect. Cowher would start with minicamp and then go to the OTAs, whereas Mike Tomlin starts with the OTAs and ends with minicamp. But it was the first 11-on-11 lineup of the first day of minicamp in 2004. There were three new members of the secondary. Troy Polamalu, Chris Hope, and Willie Williams was at cornerback. And Brent Alexander, Chad Scott, and Mike Logan were gone. So, yeah, it's time to get on with it. It's Marcus Wheaton time, so to speak. And, you know, just one other thing about Wheaton. You know, last year, Oregon State's class schedule was one of those ones that prevented him from attending any of the OTAs or minicamp because, you know, the draft was in April, and so everything was moved up 2 weeks. But when Marcus Wheaton showed up at St. Vincent, he was not held back by the learning. And in fact, you know, was in a regular role on offense when the season opened. You know, the finger injury is what eventually sent him to the sideline and sent him back. So Marcus Wheaton is a bright guy. He has shown the ability to pick up the playbook under some adverse circumstances presented to him during his rookie season. So, you know, when Ben was talking a day or two ago about the amount of no huddle that they can use to be determined by how the new guys pick up the offense. Wheaton and you know, Lance Moore, who, I don't know, played Sean Payton's offense with Drew Brees. He might be a little
kind
experienced.
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't think the learning is going to be a problem for those guys. So that's something to be hopeful about as well.
Well, and funny you bring up Lance Moore, because I talked to Marcus Wheaton the other day, and he said, you know, what Jayco was to him last year, the guy that he followed around, did everything that he did, he's now attached himself to Lance Moore and
Uncle Lance?
Why not, right? Why wouldn't you want to learn as much as you can?
He said used to call Koshry Uncle Jayco.
Not bad, but same thing. We saw Marcus Wheaton leave the field yesterday and today, right next to Lance Moore.
You know, Mike, you mentioned that the Steelers put his locker next to Ben Roethlisberger's. You know, Bill Nunn told me this story one time. He said that this was during the Bobby Lane era, and, you know, Bill Nunn went up to Bobby Lane at a bar in downtown Pittsburgh.
Which Bobby Lane was in a bar?
Where they had team meetings back in those days. And Nunn said he was, you know, trying to learn. So he goes up to Bobby Lane and he says, "What makes a good wide receiver?" And Lane started to laugh. And he said, "See that guy over there?" He pointed to Jimmy Orr, who was sitting there having a drink too. And Lane said, "I like him, so I throw him the ball. That makes him a good receiver." So getting to know the quarterback is a wily veteran move.
Knowledge that Bill Nunn imparted to Lynn Swann, and Lynn Swann took great advantage with Terry Bradshaw.
And Frank Lewis did not, and ended up looking
what happened.
Yep.
All right, well, here is what Marcus Wheaton had to say after practice.
I wouldn't say pressure. I'm getting a lot more reps. I'm having fun. You know, it's less watching, so I'm enjoying it.
More competitive out there now that you guys are actually going through some 11-on-11s and stuff like that, and
definitely,
guys are fighting for jobs?
Definitely. You know, whereas in the offseason we're just out there running routes by ourselves trying to get better, but with the competition I feel like we'll improve a lot more.
How much extra did you do with Ben in this offseason? You talked about taking some receivers out to California, working with them. Were you part of that?
Yeah, I mean, we went out to California. I think we were out there for about a week. Hit the field for a couple hours a day, you know. Went over some plays, went over some signals, you know, all the calls, the no huddle calls, all that stuff, you know. So I think it definitely did help.
You know, one other Marcus Wheaton thing. I mean, he is a guy that I saw here working out all through February, all through March. I mean, he and Cam Hayward were the two players that I saw at this facility earliest or soonest after the regular season ended, and most consistently. I really think that Marcus Wheaton has a lot of what it takes internally, the drive to do the work, to become great. And again, I don't think that there's going to be anything in terms of the learning or those kind of things that are going to hold this guy back. And I'm kind of excited to see how he turns out.
I'll tell you what else he can do. He can read a depth chart, because a bunch of us talked to him after the first day. And as Missy mentioned, he was running with Antonio Brown, number one at wide receiver, those two guys right out of the chute. And Marcus Wheaton's response was, "It's not my job yet." And then he kind of caught himself and said, "Well, it's not my job. There's a bunch of us here. We all have to keep working, blah, blah, blah." But that "yet" to me was priceless. Like, he knows it's there to be grabbed, and I think he intends to grab it.
It's like dangling the carrot.
Yep.
All right, well, that is going to do it for us here today on Steelers.com Live. Thanks so much for joining us. For Bob and Mike, I'm Missy. We'll see you next week at 4:00.